Incidentally, you heard the other story, didn't you? The very dedicated golfer. He never missed his game of golf any day. One day he's playing along a fairway, and alongside there was a road. And a funeral came past. And being a very devout man, he took his golf clubs off and put them down, and he took his cap off, and he put his hands across him in a very pious position and bowed his head. He remained like this for a long time until the funeral had finally passed. His friend came up to him and said, "Hey, George," he said, "what's happened to you? You're becoming more religious." He said, no. He said, now, Jane, she wasn't a bad wife. I'm glad you're not a good golfer. Now, just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do once again thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for all the joy and fun and laughter and fellowship we can have together here. We do praise thee, Lord, that Christianity is such a truly joyful and happy religion. And we just pray that day by day we may enter more fully into all the joys and wonder of what thou hast got for us. And now, dear Father, as we turn quite briefly to think about the tremendous subject of prayer, we just ask that you'll give to each one of us a real desire to enter into the riches that can be ours through prayer. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to try and give just a very short 10-minute talk on some practical approaches to prayer. I suppose that prayer is one of the most important facets of the Christian life. You see, whether we like it or not, we are living in a world that is opposed to Jesus Christ. The world hates Jesus Christ. And if we're truly faithful to Jesus Christ, we will find that the world will also hate us. And prayer is our lifeline between ourselves and between God. Any diver going down into the depths of the sea needs to have a lifeline in order that air might go down to him. And so we need a lifeline to keep us day by day in touch with God. Why should we pray? First of all, surely because it's emphasized over and over again in both the Old and the New Testament. Secondly, surely if Jesus Christ, God the Son, needed to pray, how much more do we need to pray? Thirdly, we find that he taught his disciples to pray. And as we look at the life of the disciples, we find that when they prayed, things happened. When they didn't pray, things went wrong. You know, one of the things I've found is that my prayer life is the target of the devil. I believe in the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ believed in the devil. I think I know a bit too much of the devil not to believe in him. Some time ago, in fact, very soon after we were married, we determined in our house that we would have very short prayers each morning at the breakfast table. And almost the first day that we got home after our honeymoon, one of the toughest rugby league players came to stay with us for one night. And I thought, my hat, I can never in a month of Sundays kneel down to pray with him there. It was a real test right at the start. But we did kneel down to pray. And then by jingo, the devil let everything loose. We had a dog by the name of Dougal who lived in the room at the time. Unfortunately, we also had a cat by the name of Timothy. Timothy had many kittens, but that's by the way. And when we got down on our knees, I was very, with tremendous trepidation, leading in prayer. And suddenly, You've never heard such a noise. You know, that wretched cat, it had 20 claws. 20 of them. 5 on each feet. And I can assure you that it placed each one of those feet 3 times on my back as it clambered up to get away from the dog. Oh. I don't know how I manage it if I continue to pray. I think I've lost about that instance ever since. But you will find, young people, that the devil will do everything in his power to stop you praying. You know, you kneel down in your bedroom, and immediately you hear mother walking up the stairs. And if you're like me, you'll immediately want to leap to your feet. You know, we're absolutely spineless where prayer is concerned. But we need to pray. Now, when should we pray? Well, I suggest the best time is the morning. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, in the morning, rising up a great while before Philip Hacking. It's about time I got something back at him, isn't it? Really, you know, he's had too many in the last day or two, but I think we'll call it a bit square now, at any rate. But rising up a great time before death, he prayed. And I believe that that's the best time, by and large, to pray. You'll find the psalmist said, in the morning shall my prayer prevent me. In other words, he's going to start his day in prayer. Now, with some people I know perfectly well, it's impossible. But I believe, by and large, it's better to give God the best time of the day rather than the tag end of the day. And may I give you just another word of advice? You may not take it. But I suggest that before you have your morning time of prayer, you get out of bed, and if you're accustomed to wash, I suggest you do so. If you're not accustomed to wash, you will find it's quite refreshing to do so. And I strongly recommend the practice. And then dress yourself. And now by this time, you should have had the sleep out of your eyes, and you should have come to some extent, providing. Now, this is important. Providing that you haven't been up so late at night that you've wrecked any possibility of praying in the morning. And I believe that if you're going to really pray in the morning, you have got to discipline yourself in the time that you go to bed at night. And remember, God comes first. Try and find sufficient time to forget time. And whatever you do, get into a habit and be regular in it. You know, you've all got a little hole in your faces. Some holes bigger than others, but you know, if I'm not surprised, you shove stuff into that hole in your face at least 3 times a day, and probably a jolly sight more, because you need food. Now, in exactly the same way as you stuff that face with material food, fill your soul with spiritual food, and pray regularly. Where should I pray? First of all, the scripture seems to indicate get alone with God. If you look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, get alone into the secret place with God. You'll find that Daniel prayed in his chamber. Habakkuk prayed in his watchtower. Peter prayed in the rooftop. Isabel Kuhn found she had at one time to pray in the brush cupboard. Sometimes the church is a place to get alone in prayer. But find a place where you can get alone with God. This, I believe, to be essential. Now, just a minute. If you're a Christian, you love to be, or you should love to be, with God alone. I wonder how many of you young people, perhaps the older age group here, are in love with someone. Now, isn't it true that because you're in love, you want to get alone with that person? Of course you do. You'd be a very odd creature if you didn't. And so it is, if you're truly in love with God through Jesus Christ, you'll want to get alone with him. And our Lord Jesus Christ longs to have your fellowship alone with him. How should I pray? First of all, may I suggest you get yourself comfortable. Now, I'm a bit odd here, perhaps. I find the best way for, and the most comfortable way for myself to pray is to sit down on my haunches, or not my haunches, just to sit down by my bed with my arms in a chair. I find that the most relaxing. Some people find it better to pray. Some people find to wander up and down a platform or to wander up and down a room is the best way they can pray. But get yourself comfortable. Be reverent. Remember you're entering into the presence of a holy God. And you know, I'm quite sure that if you had an invitation to go to the Queen, that's unlike a certain gentleman. I think you would go, wouldn't you? But by jinger, there'd be a bit of spit and polish about it. Best dress, best suit, best hairdo, and some of the boys even, perhaps a wash behind the ears in case the Queen saw it. Oh yes, be reverent. Never run in and out of the presence of God. Always remember that the way in is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you to make it possible for you to have access into his presence. Use your Bible. Let your prayers be based on the Bible. If you pray biblical prayers, you can't go wrong. Turn wandering thoughts into prayer. You know, you girls, you'll find that as soon as you get down onto your knees, you'll find over and over again, now, I'm going down to Marks and Spencer's today. Now, what shall I get at Marks and Spencer's? They've got lovely new hats down there. 5 and 11, but only. Now, should I get the white one? Oh, I've got the wrong price again. Never mind. I got an awful trouble the other day. My wife came in with a bargain. She said, you know, now, how much do you think this cost? And I said, oh, I thought 8 and 11, but it's a new skirt of some sort, I think it was. I said, 8 and 11. She said, oh, Nick, you're impossible. She said, it was, I think it was 11 and 11. And there's a friend with me, and he said, well, you know, I'm awfully glad you didn't ask me, because I was going to say 5 bob if it was a bargain. Turn your thoughts, or wandering thoughts, into prayer. Now, very quickly, my time's up. Will you remember the 4 letters, ACT, A-C-T-S? It happens to be one of the books of the Bible. Firstly, adoration. Spend time to adore the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you so much as he died for you. Secondly, confession. Seek to let his holiness search your heart and confess your sins. Thirdly, thanksgiving, and count all the things that you have to thank him for. And lastly, supplication. Pray for others. Pray for your minister. He needs it. Pray for your vicar. Pray for your church. Pray for others. Don't be stereotyped in your prayer. Seek his will and pray in his name. And lastly, and very quickly, there's a very small little booklet on the stall there. Price fourpence. I always go in for the cheaper books. Price fourpence. How can I pray better? And I think you'll find that here you'll find some very simple and very good advice that will underline what I've said this morning.